Good morning, folks. Hey, a response. I like it. Okay, so it's Remembrance Day, and we'll think a little bit today about what it means to have remembrance, right? It seems to be one of these words that takes on extra meaning. It's remembering, but it's not just remembering. It's not, remembrance isn't like remembering to buy the milk, right? It's a deeper thing. It's remembering in a special way. It's a mix of remembering and valuing and giving a special relevance to things which are important. You could think of it as treasuring particular memories. In fact, it's that treasuring that I want to concentrate on today. The idea for today's sermon is the treasure in your heart. The things that you treasure deep down. That word treasure is quite powerful, and it's not just from stories of pirates, right? So let's start with a few verses from the Gospel of Luke, and they're all concerning the treasures of the heart. First, let's read from where the wise men arrived and told Jesus' mother about what God had said about her little baby. Luke 2:19. However, Mary continued to treasure all these things in her heart and to ponder them. Then, a bit later, after Jesus as a boy had stayed on at the temple when the rest of the family had started out for home. Luke 2:51. Then he went back with them, returning to Nazareth and remaining in submission to them. His mother continued to treasure all these things in her heart. Then later, we're moved on to Luke 6 now, and Jesus is speaking, and he's speaking about how people produce good fruit. Luke 6:45, a good person produces good from the good treasure of his heart, and an evil person produces evil from an evil treasure, because the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. Then, if we move on to Luke 10, Jesus is talking about how the heart is important. And this is when he's asked a question and he answers it from the Old Testament. Luke 10:27, he answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must have love for your neighbor as yourself." Then, and this is the last quote from Luke in this series of things, in Luke 12:30, under the heading, "Do not be anxious," Jesus tells us all to build up a dependable treasure in heaven where no thief can get close and no moth can destroy anything. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow. Let's stop for a minute and just think about that last quote in particular. That treasure in heaven is dependable. Now, that's really important. What sort of treasure do you have that's dependable? How dependable is any treasure? Have you got lots of money in the bank? Is that dependable? Well, probably. But what about inflation? Is that the moth that's going to eat away the value of that? Is your treasure a great job? Is that dependable? Could you lose the job? Could you turn ill, not be able to do that job? Or maybe your treasure is in a relationship. a wonderful boyfriend or wife or close friend or whoever. Of course, they will probably be dependable, as far as they can. But no human can be totally dependable, because they are limited. But treasures in heaven are totally and guaranteed to be dependable, because God is utterly without limits. So these treasures in heaven that Jesus talks about, these are the things that we should aim to build up. So how do we build up these dependable treasures in heaven? How do we get our hearts more heaven-centered? We can remember godly things. We can concentrate on them. We can meditate on them. We can ponder them. Indeed, the Bible commentator Matthew Henry puts it nicely. He says, "The truths of Christ are worth keeping, and the way to keep them safe is to ponder them. Meditation is the best help to memory." Okay, let's think of a few questions that we can pose to ourselves, just to expand this idea of treasuring memories, building up treasures in heaven. So, what do you treasure? There's a question. What do you spend time thinking about? Where does your mind go when you let it drift? What are your daydreams? What do you ponder on? What do you think of as good things? How many of these good things are godly things? Let me suggest one possible answer to these questions, just to get you started. For many of us, friendships are things that we treasure. Our remembrances are often of friends and good times that we shared. These friendships can often reflect godly things. Having a really good friend can act a bit like having God as our saviour. Friendships can be godly. Friendships operate on love and care, and that shows some of God's way of working with us. Human friendships can reflect bits of heaven. They can be some of our treasures in heaven. But these things, these treasures, can be different for each of us. Let's take a few minutes to identify the things that are important to you, the sort of things that you treasure in your heart. So, let's try this as an exercise. I'm going to list a few things. And while I do that, in your head, give them each a score of 1 to 10, right? 1 means it isn't really important to me. I couldn't care. 10 means this is essential to me. I really value and treasure this thing. So here's a list of a few things, just to give a score to. Family. A comfortable life. Worship. Health. God's kingdom. Friends. Money. My behavior. What other people think of me? What God thinks of me? Prayer. Right, so that's a list. You could easily add to that list. And you've probably got a few other things that score 10 somewhere in your imagination. So if we know what it is that we treasure, let's think about it in terms of maybe there are other treasures, things that move us, motivate us. What sort of things get you excited, get you looking forward, setting your expectations high? What sort of things are you willing to give up so that you can spend more time, money and effort on other things? Those are the things that you treasure. And how does God feel about each of these things that you treasure? If God is a jealous God, are there things in your life which God is jealous about? What I mean is, are there things that get in the way of God? Let me be very clear in this. God doesn't want you or me to do nothing but pray all day, every day, right? Far from it. There might be some people that that's true for, but I suspect it's very few people. But God does want you to let him into everything that you do and think. Every part of your life, God wants to be involved in. Yes, even if you're screaming for your favourite football team to win, God wants to be there beside you at that moment. Right? He wants to share with you every innocent, simple enjoyment. Equally, God wants to be with you in hard times. He wants to help you bear the burdens of sadness. Somehow, and maybe this is just in my head, but somehow it seems easier to think of God comforting you in sadness than it is to think of him smiling with you when they score that lovely goal. You can think of your own examples there. The truth is, God wants to be involved in every part of your life. Okay, so if you think of things that God has done for you over your life, spend some time looking back over the important things in your history and thank God for them. Right? Ensure that these reminiscences, these remembrances of your life are easy to get to in your heart. Treasure them in your heart by thinking over them often and thanking God for them. Think of key moments. These might be your early days as a child in your family, or maybe your school days, or when you first got married, or when you first got to know God, or maybe when you had children or enjoyed times with friends or whatever. It's the things that are good in your memory. Bring them back to mind. Thank God for the event and for what he did for you in that time. Thank God for every good thing in your past. Lodge them in your heart. Make sure that it's easy to think back to them and praise God and thank God for the work of his hand in your life. How you spend your time and money and effort is a great indicator of where your treasures are. It reflects something about your heart. Of course, that's not to say that there's a fixed amount of time or money that you're obliged to put in to keep your life right with God. If you're thinking about that putting a tenth of your income into church makes God happy, think again. It's far more personal than that. Let's look at a story that Jesus told about what's called the widow's mite. So, stories in Mark 12, starting at 41. As Jesus sat near the temple treasury, he watched the people as they dropped in their money. Many rich men dropped in a lot of money. Then a poor widow came along and dropped in two little copper coins worth about a penny. He called his disciples together and said to them, I tell you that this poor widow put more in the offering box than all the others. For the others put in what they had to spare of the riches, but she, poor as she is, put in all she had. She gave all she had to live on. Okay. Just for emphasis, let's look at that same story in Luke. And that's Luke 21, starting verse 1. Jesus looked around and saw rich people dropping their gifts in the temple treasury. And he also saw a very poor widow dropping in two little copper coins. He said, I tell you that this poor widow put in more than all the others. For the others offered their gifts from what they had to spare of the riches. But she, poor as she is, gave all she had to live on. Now, I love that story because it says so much about the relationship between Jesus and us. The overall amount that we give doesn't matter in the slightest to Jesus. It's all to do with the attitude. Now, this is really important, and for some people, it's life-changing. God doesn't need your money. God is richer than anyone who ever lived. God created everything. He's not short of a bob or two. In the Old Testament, God says the following about himself, and he's thinking not of cash, but of animals. Remember that many of his people at that time were farmers. So, Psalm 50, verses 9 and 10. And yet I do not need bulls from your farms or goats from your flocks. All the animals in the forest are mine, and the cattle on thousands of hills. That image, the cattle on thousands of hills, maybe we should think of it in modern terms as all the mansions in Chelsea or Mayfair or wherever they are, or a harbour full of super yachts, or space rockets for pleasure trips. What God's saying is he's rich. He's super rich. He's richer than anyone can imagine. So he's not needing you to give him your money. But he does want you to love him. And as a token of your love, you can give him something. And Jesus appreciated what the poor widow had given because it really meant something to her. When you give up something that's precious, it can be a symbol of your love. And it's not just your money that shows what you think is important, it's your time. If I take a few minutes to make Myra a cup of tea, she appreciates it. Might not happen too often, but she appreciates it. And that's not because Myra can't make a cup of tea for herself, but because I spend my time doing that for her, it's a way that I can show that I care. And it's a bit similar. It's a silly little example, but it's a bit similar. If you're spending time doing something with God, it might be in prayer and meditation. It might be taking care of a friend, putting out the chairs, teaching Sunday school, whatever. If you're putting your time in that way, it can be a token, a symbol of your love for God. It shows where your heart is. It shows what you treasure in your heart. If we can grasp that core truth of the story of the widow's mite, it can be a big release You don't need to give God anything at all. God won't love you any less for not putting your money in the plate, but he would love you to give him your love. And as a symbol, give him something that matters to you. The Old Testament rules were all about you needed to give a tenth of your income to the temple. And that's probably a good rule of thumb. But far more important than that is to give God something that you value. Give him some of your time, some of your enthusiasm. Give him some of your love. That's what he's far more interested in than your money. Invite God into bits of your life which have been off limits for him until now. This whole idea of building up treasures that are in heaven brings in another idea about us being more and more heaven-centered, being increasingly focused on the things of God. It means looking at the world in terms of God's kingdom, recognizing God's authority, his kingship in everything. Over the last few years, I've been asking God to make me more aware of his kingdom, even though I'm surrounded by things that are worldly. They don't appear to be kingdom things. Can we see the world through God's eyes? Can we see God at work even in human circumstances? Yes, we can. What I found is that I'm becoming more attuned to seeing the hand of God in everyday things and seeing the miracles that God still performs. It is possible to become more aware of God acting in his authority, even in daily circumstances that surround us. Let's look out for God's hand in human endeavors. Let's recognize God's intervention when wars are averted, or when some progress is made in climate change talks. Let's see Jesus smile in our friend's smile. Let's thank God for every little piece of good news. Indeed, if we can become more focused on the good news and react thankfully to it, we become more heaven-focused. When we start to give thanks for good news more easily than to despair of bad news, then we begin to align our hearts with God's heart. I really believe that there's a key to developing our spiritual life in this idea of thankfulness, even in dire situations. The following verses, which I've quoted before, they're really lodged in my heart over the last year or two. I'd not really noticed them before, to be honest. But they've meant a lot to me recently. They bring home this idea of thankfulness. So, 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Three very simple little verses, but I think they're important. Always be joyful, continually be prayerful, in everything be thankful, because this is God's will for you in the Messiah Jesus. I feel that thankfulness is a good way to get more of God's perspective. It's part of how we build up those treasures in heaven. It's one way to treasure things in our heart. Thinking on God's goodness gives us a far healthier view on life than resting our thoughts on the wickedness of man. So, if you want a mind picture, imagine this. Imagine a beautiful natural scene. Let's say a woodland. At this time of year, lots of different trees, lots of different colours, from vibrant greens through golds, yellows, russet reds, browns. And just imagine the breeze runs through that woodland. And as that happens, imagine God just whispering some truth into your heart, into your mind. Let it work its way down. And what he's saying is, always be joyful. Continually be prayerful. In everything, be thankful. So just take a minute. Let those thoughts percolate into your spirit. Let them flow down into your heart. Lodge them in your mind. Joyful, prayerful, thankful. Those are keys to life in fullness. Joyful, prayerful, thankful. There's another translation that makes it a wee bit more poetic. In the Passion Translation, it says, once again, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. In the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. Get that? For this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. There's a lot in that. But here's another thought to throw in. And it's the final thought for today. So there you go. By becoming more focused on God's kingdom, by building up these treasures in heaven, we're preparing ourselves for eternity. A big theme that runs through the whole Bible is that the idea that we're just passing through this life. The more that we align ourselves with heavenly things, the more we're getting ready for the bigger part of our life. I remember hearing somebody once described as homesick for heaven. That strikes me as quite a good way to view things. Even if we're really young and expect to live for the next 100 years, what's 100 years compared to eternity? If we can be homesick for heaven, our way of viewing things here changes. Some of the things that we find most disappointing or most annoying lose some of their power. I reckon that keeping our gaze on heaven allows us to cope better with the negative things on earth. Yeah, I know there's an old saying, he's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly use, but that's just a clever dig, right? When we're really focused on heaven, when we're fully on fire for God, we are of earthly use, because God's priorities move us to do good things. Being motivated by heavenly things does not make us hermits. It motivates us to be God's servants on earth. Okay, let me close up with a fuller quote from that Luke 12 passage. And this time from the Passion Translation, just to emphasize the impact of focusing on heavenly things. So Luke 12:29 through 34. Don't let worry enter your life. Live above the anxious cares about your personal needs. People everywhere seem to worry about making a living, but your heavenly Father knows your every need and will take care of you. Each and every day, he will supply your needs as you seek his kingdom passionately above all else. So don't ever be afraid, dearest friends. Your loving heavenly Father joyously gives you his kingdom realm with all its promises. So now, go and sell what you have and give to those in need, making deposits in your account in heaven, an account that will never be taken from you. Your gifts will become a secure and unfailing treasure, deposited in heaven forever. Where you deposit your treasure, that is where your thoughts will turn to, and your heart will long to be there also. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we ask your help. We ask you to help us to be so excited by who you are and what you do that we can build up those treasures in heaven. Lord, help us to invite you into more of our lives. The bits of our lives that we've just left you out of just now, we invite you in. Lord, help us to give you your place. Help us to keep thoughts of you at the center of our hearts. Lord, we give you our treasures as they are right now, and we ask you to give us heavenly treasures, which we can have for eternity. So, Father, we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.